It's Boss Barrel Radio, and I am Griffin Hoffman. This week, joining me is Jeff Brewer.
I'm a real boy.
And Jamie Scherer.
I'm not a real boy.
All right, talk about your Shin Megami Tensei 4 hot deals from Nintendo.
Oh, it's a hot deal. It's unprecedented, according to Del North of Destructoid. If you have both Shin Megami Tensei 4 and the new Fire Emblem, you get a $30 Nintendo Store credit for your 3DS.
Yeah.
If you buy both those games.
That's a hot deal.
And hot I am looking, as I own Fire Emblem, as we all do, as everyone ought to.
Right.
I'm looking at this game, Shine Mega Man Tensei 4, and I've never seen anything. I don't understand what's going on. You can see your character in the map. He is a knight, mm-hmm. and then he runs into pixels, and the pixels become zombies. And then the zombies asks you what your fetish is, and then you fight them, and then you're back in the hallway.
Here is what I understand about Shin Megami Tensei games. There is always like a monster that looks like a dick or a vagina.
Accurate. But in this one, you can be friends with it.
Yeah, I'm friends with it.
Unlike real life. Have you played an SMT game before, Jamie?
No, never.
Okay, yeah, but not this.
Not this one, no.
Why not this
one? Because I mean, like the SMT games are pretty raw. Like it's a pretty raw ass RPG, JRPG, not a WRPG by any means.
you know, it's also just like a. Go ahead, Griffin. Sorry.
No, you go.
I get the impression from 4 that it's just like a straight dungeon crawler, like Etrian Odyssey without a hook.
yeah, not you don't even get to make your own maps. No, I don't know. That's kind of what the SMT games are like. I last played Strange Journey on the DS, and it's just a first person dungeon crawler, and it's fine. It's cool. Like there's a lot of RPG, classic RPG elements, like upgrading your dudes, getting to be friends with the monsters, and using them in battle to different effect. And then it's crazy, you know, like Jeff said, demon dicks and god fighting, hell spawn, alternate dimensions. So all sorts of bananas.
Can we make a game called Demon Dicks?
Was that not the name of one of the Japanese horror movies you were watching the other day?
So being in the profession, I have to say this. I'm watching a gameplay trailer of this game on YouTube, and I in the profession I'm in, I've become fairly intimate with the male anatomy, and I've dissected male anatomy, and from what I can tell, this entire dungeon is a male member just split down the middle, and it's just that's like the wallpaper of the floor, ceiling, and walls of this dungeon.
Stop saying that. Now it makes me want to go play Animal Crossing. Jeff, did you get the split member wallpaper? Oh man, it's a hot deal only on the weekend.
Dude, Griffin, do you have Club Lowell yet?
Yeah, I do.
Have you gone there during the day?
Yep.
Okay, Professor
Schrock. Is it a club?
It's a club.
Yeah.
Dr. Slunk is the greatest character ever. First of all,
he's very good.
I have no idea what the hell he is.
Oh, no. Just some horrific Muppet monster.
I thought maybe he was like a frilled lizard, but I don't even know. He has some weird ways of boogieing around, too.
I thought he was that thing in Muppet Babies that didn't talk, that was like the babiest Muppet baby.
Jamie, there's this creepy looking dude, and if you give him a piece of fruit in the middle of the day, he will put on a cheesy shirt and an ascot.
That's where like the real Japanese culture thing couldn't be localized out, where it's like he's a retired comedian, but then his brand of comedy is like he gets on stage and wears weird clothes and then just talks in the most bizarre, obscure, punny, dry humor ever. That's like, I was at the doctor the other day and he said I only had a couple more years to live. Man, boy, that's the life, right? I don't think I'm gonna go back to him. And you're like,
And then that's the end.
Yep.
And then at the end, he's taught you how to emote.
Yeah. Then he teaches you how to make a scrunchy anime angry thing above your head.
That's odd. Most animals in that game, even I am like, oh, that's clearly a cat. That's clearly a dog. But I don't know. What's up with that guy?
Dr. Shrunk is like a demon spawn.
Yeah.
He is like the dick monster of Animal Crossing.
He's an aborted Muppet.
Are they trying to tell you that, like, the club life is amoral and unnatural?
Yes.
I don't know, man. He was in the previous game, too. He had less of a role in Wild World. But in this one, so creepy, but so wonderful.
Have you figured out how you're going to play this game on the boat that won't have the right plugs for your 3DS?
I can walk you through my strategy. So first,
yes, please do.
So tonight, okay, not only am I bringing my 3DS, I'm also bringing my old DS just in case.
Oh, good thinking.
But I've got my 3DS. I'm going to fully charge it tonight.
Cut the edge of that card off and stick it in your old DS.
I'm going to unplug it in the morning. I got to keep it on at the airport because you got to get them street passes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Good luck. Good luck to you, sir.
So keep it on at the airport. I'm hoping if there's an outlet on the plane, then everything changes. That's going to change the game. But if there isn't, I'll have a lean day in Animal Crossing. That means no watering of plants. No digging of fossils.
Whoa.
Just the bare necessities. Just got to check the stores. Just got to go to Nook's Homes, look for new stuff for your home, and turn.
So I'm more curious in this now. What is your Animal Crossing daily activity? Like, what is your flow chart for your wake up in Animal Cross?
So flow chart would probably be wake up, like kind of scan the immediate vicinity for places to dig if I have time. Then I go to, let's see. First, I usually go to Super TNT. And then I work my way over from Kicks over to Mabel's, and then I check out Nook's Homes. But they're like the ones that could go if I don't care. Like, sure. Nook's Homes, like, yeah, you can get that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And then I go over to the museum, have them ID my fossils, and then sell all my extra shit.
Yeah. And then, I feel like this game is like QVC. Like, you're just waiting to buy shit.
Yeah.
Like,
pretty much.
Or like the combination of QVC and extreme couponing.
You're waiting for the next big hit, Jamie. You're like, oh man, tomorrow's gonna be even better than today. And then it comes and you're like, oh man, well, even tomorrow is gonna be better. And then the payoff is good and you're like, you just chase that high again. You're like, tomorrow I'll get it. Tomorrow I'll get the Samus helmet.
The best thing about it is that the shit you buy in the stores is at like horrendously inflated prices, which just kind of adds to the sting. Like, you pay like $4,000 for like a watering can. Or not like a watering can, but like, you know, like a wash basin or something. And then you'll go to sell it and it'll be like 300 bells.
Right.
It just hammers home the fact that you're an addict.
Yeah. I also like the idea of just thinking about currency in terms of bells. Like, you're lugging around 300 bells in a sack, a magic sack.
Well, no, actually, it's not magic. No, Jamie or Jeff, you know what? Yeah.
Yeah. You can't carry more than 99,000 bells. If you do, you have to put it in a new bag and carry that bag in your inventory. Which adds a whole other element, because some stuff costs more than 99,000 bells. So if you want to buy it, you have to clear out space in your inventory to buy it.
Right, and inventory space is a commodity. Painful. Like,
yeah, it's painfully limited.
Remember when Nier came out and everyone was criticizing Nier because it made all these decisions that
just
were player hostile. Everyone's saying the game is player hostile, and this game sounds player hostile, but no one ever complains. Everyone's like, it's just brilliant. Like, I'm glad that I can stack only so many items.
Yeah, people were actually shitting their pants because you can finally stack fruit in your inventory.
It's one of those situations where normally I would say this is like the shit in the living room situation, where like, just because it's been there doesn't mean there it's an excuse for it to be there. But I feel like this is one of those occasions where that's kind of the only acceptable answer. Like, if you freed up it to be unlimited inventory space, then it kind of doesn't put any, with the restrictions, it makes the gameplay more interesting because you have to prioritize your actions and times, and you have to, you know, incorporate more planning into what you're doing. If it was just free reign, you know, everything was available all the time and you had unlimited space, like, it just would not, it wouldn't be the same, obviously, but it wouldn't contribute to a more pleasurable experience.
I feel like the only gamey tension in that game is just inventory management, pretty much.
There's something perversely fun about that. Like, I would say in the new Diablo game, which I did not enjoy, the only thing I did enjoy was thinking, like, what can I drop right now?
Have you, like, Jeff, you may have played it. Did you play Don't Starve?
I have not played Don't Starve yet. I'm just going to wait for the PS4 version.
Okay. It's really good. It's the best Minecraft.
Awesome.
Better than Minecraft?
Better than Minecraft.
Wow. That's high praise.
Well, I mean, yeah. It just offers a lot more. And the kind of, like, pressure and uncomfortable nervousness that the setting puts you in makes for a lot more appealing. Or makes it a lot more appealing to me. Like, in Minecraft, it's night, you dig a hole and you wait night out and you're fine. Like, in Don't Starve, you know, you're contending with getting just instantly killed when darkness covers you at night. You also are dealing with this, you know, hunger meter and this energy and all these other factors, and it's just a lot more balls in the air that you have to juggle.
Sounds fun to me.
It's super fun. It's by Clay, too, which blew my mind.
What did Clay make as well as Don't Starve?
Shank 2, and Mark of the Ninja.
Mark of the Ninja. Very cool. One of the greatest little games I've ever played.
Absolutely.
I was not, it didn't really get me going.
It didn't really get going either, but I love the game.
Oh, interesting.
Well, it got me going.
I appreciate the game quite a bit.
And I love stealth games. So I
get excited. I think the difference between us in this tiny regard, Jeff, is that I get excited when I search and search and search through a level, and there is only one way to do it, and then I find that one way. I'm like, yes. But I feel like you want more ways.
Well, in my stealth game, I want more ways.
Yeah.
In my other game, I want maybe less ways.
But that, I feel doesn't Mark of the Ninja offer a bunch of different ways to get from point A to point B? Not enough for you?
It's not so much that. I don't know. It just felt kind of boring to me, and I feel like I'm really in the minority here, obviously. But
No. I agree. It is boring, but I think it does is super cool.
Yeah. I mean, the ideas on display, I think, were really cool. I guess it was just sort of like that over and over, and it didn't grab me to begin with, so I think I was kind of doomed.
Yeah. I think also in my situation was, it's just me saying, or me finally having the realization, be like, I can't play stealth games anymore. Like, with the Last of Us was that one occasion where I'm like, I can do this because I don't have to sit and wait forever. Like, I can be active and mobile, like in Splinter Cell Conviction. Like, you can get in there, you can mess up, and you can run away and still be fine. Like, in so many stealth games, you're punished so heavily for, you know, having any little mistake.
See, for me, I didn't mind the punishment. I just, like I said, it didn't really sink its hooks into me. And, like, it's to the point where, like, I really respect the game, like, as you do, Griffin, from, like, an academic perspective. I recognize that it's a good game. I just didn't bother buying it because it wasn't really doing it for me. But, you know. What if? Because, yeah, I love, like, waiting and waiting and then failing and having to do it all over again.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I live for that, so.
Did you finish The Last of Us on hard, Jeff?
I did, yes.
Wow.
No listen mode.
That's impressive.
It's so much more tense that way.
I'm sure it is.
It's just you. That is an accomplishment.
Why, thank you.
That is amazing.
Sorry, go ahead, Griff.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, my crowning accomplishment, which is really stupid and you're probably going to laugh at, Griffin, is beating Final Fantasy IX at level 1 with all my characters.
What the hell?
For whatever reason, one summer, instead of playing new games, I was like, I'm gonna play FF9 again at level 1.
This is every summer, let's
how do you do that?
You don't get any experience from the bosses, so if you just either run away from all the normal fights or petrify the enemies, or cast stop on them, then you avoid experience. And you can do that for almost the entire game, except at the very end when you have to get experience, but you just dump all that onto your secondary party.
Huh. And what does that accomplish eventually?
Nothing.
Oh.
Absolutely nothing. Huh. The quote-unquote joy of having... it's like an achievement, except even worse, because nothing even goes ding.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Is it, at least, does the game go faster because you're not wasting so much time in random battles, or...
No, it actually goes slower, but
Fuck, man, really?
My main gripe with FF9 was that it was super easy, though. So I was like, I want to make it hard. The one cool thing that it does is it forces you to use all of the abilities of the characters. So if you appreciate turn-based battle systems from like a mechanical perspective, then you might enjoy it.
But how do you just not wipe?
There's different ways around it. Armor is important in that game. Your stats they don't cap very high, and armor has a big influence on them. So
like
that helps.
Rogue Legacy.
Oh.
Transition.
Yeah.
Transition, you guys. Have either of you guys played this game?
Nope.
Not yet, no. Too busy.
I love it. I think it's really great. Do you want me to talk about it?
Yes. Yeah. Tell me about Rogue Legacy.
So you guys probably know the gist. One of the misconceptions I had was that as your characters die and then the new generation starts, the new generation would start with like the lowest base stats possible. Mm-hmm. But that's not how it works. So you run through the procedurally generated dungeon, you die, and then your heir takes over, and your heir inherits higher stats, both in terms of just a base and also in terms of what you spec into. There's like a skill tree that you spec into, and also armor. So armor that you've unlocked is there forever. So it's like you die and then you get back into the castle with your shiny new armor. But the cool thing is that you take the same armor and the same like upgraded stats, but each time you'll be a different class. So one run through you'll be a mage, the next run through you'll be a barbarian, the next you'll be like a stealth kind of.
Do you ever
roguish.
Get back to like mage again, or do they keep compounding where you're like, now I'm a battle mage? Or
well, there's a nice well, exactly. So you unlock new classes in the skill tree. Uh-huh. So that, and then every time when you choose your heir, there are three random choices. It could be all mages. It could be a mage and a knave and a barbarian. So it's just random. But the other thing about the game, like we were talking about last week, is that along with your random class that's assigned to whichever descendant you choose, there's also two stats that are assigned that are independent, and they can do nothing, such as being gay or being bald, or they can affect you. Like you can have gigantism, so your character is physically larger. So a lot of the game is actually a little bit bullet helly. So that makes it tough. Your character can like lack 3D vision. So whenever your character turns around, it's like a Paper Mario thing, and all the enemies are like Paper Mario.
Oh my
character
God.
Can only see in black and white.
Sure, yeah.
Character can see upside, like the whole world will be upside down, but
that's
the controls
awesome.
Are still right side up. And sometimes it makes you make tough decisions because you'll get three heirs, two of whom you'll be like, I don't really want to play that class right now. And then the one who you want to play, that's the one that'll have the problem where the world is upside down in black and white. So then you'll do a run through where the world is upside down in black and white. And it's so much fun and so hard. But you just know you're just going to die right away.
So what's prevent you, Jamie, from just kind of re-rolling your character right away? Like you get a combination of skills, stats, and whatever. Like what's to prevent you from just running out and running first into the first spike pit you find?
You can do that if you don't want that that character.
Oh.
But I think the game if you got three choices and you're unhappy with all of them, you can just run into the castle and just kill yourself, and then you'll get another new three choices. But I think part of the joy of the game is it encourages you to find a way to enjoy playing these different classes. And I think there might be something in the background where if you keep choosing barbarian over and over again, it's going to make you choose mage. Because if I play barbarians, then my three choices will end up being mage, mage, mage. If I choose mages, my three choices will end up being rogue, rogue, rogue. So it's like there's something going on there maybe where they're kind of gently nudging you to try different things. I think it's a fantastic game. You guys
sounds
should
awesome.
So you've already said it's bullet hell like and procedurally generated. Is it roguelike like and plays like a platformer, like a Castlevania or something?
Yeah, it plays like a Super Nintendo platformer, and some rooms are just like everything's flying at you at once, and you'll luckily either have an innate character trait that's from the class that helps you deal with that, or you'll have specced into some sort of rune. They have runes that will allow you to block certain things. The bosses are also bullet heli. And then other times it's not bullet heli at all. Sometimes there's a room where it's just literally you're thinking like, all right, I'm going to drop down, I'm going to go over behind the bookcase, and then I'm going to jump up and hit the guy from behind. And so it's very planned out that way. So it's a really nice mix.
So I was wondering about the stealth character. Does that work in like every room, or is it just more of like a type character?
It's not so much a stealth character as a glass cannon.
But you have
to play it stealth because it's really hard to keep him alive. So you have to – you can kind of duck into a room and just take a quick look at what is coming at you. And if you don't feel prepared, you can just run back. And then you think like, all right, in this room there's like 30 different things coming at me this direction. I'm going to jump up and then I'm going to go from there. And I don't know. It's fun. You guys should give it a go.
What platforms?
Platforms are in the game.
No, like what device do you play this game on?
Oh, it is a PC game.
Is it Mac as well or PC only?
I'm going to check for you right now. Okay. It's a Steam Greenlight thing, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay, cool.
As a follow-up, Jamie, what are the controls? Are they mouse, keyboard? Are they just keyboard?
I am playing with an Xbox 360 controller, and I would highly recommend you.
You probably should be able to just plug in the Xbox controller.
The reason I ask is because I'm kind of leaving the country, and I'm wondering, should I get it before I go, because I have downtime? Is it something I can play?
You can play this. That's the best thing about this game. It is addicting, right? So I've put probably 2 or 3 hours into it already. You can easily play for hours on end, but you can also do one run that takes, you know, 5 minutes, and then get some gold, and then feel like you've accomplished something, and then finish, be done with it.
Okay, so, but it sounds like you can just do keyboard, right?
I think you can just do keyboard, but it's really nicely laid out for a 360 controller.
Mm. Okay. Okay.
Like even the prompts are, you know, the 360
buttons and stuff.
Icons and stuff, at least if you have the controller plugged in there.
That was one thing that pissed me off about Super Meat Boy, actually. They didn't even give you the keyboard prompts.
Really?
Yes. They were just like, press the X button to jump or whatever, or the A button or whatever it was. And then I was like, I don't have a 360 controller.
Oh, you know what I wanted to say also? It taps into the same addictive qualities of Jetpack Joyride because you collect
just
money.
Just one more run kind of a
feel. Yeah, just one more run. You collect money that you spend to upgrade your character, and it taps into that same kind of thing. Like if you get a certain amount of gold, you're like, that was a good run. I can spend this gold on stuff.
Right. You're like, oh, just one more and it'll put me into this range to get something new. That's really cool. That sounds you got me hooked, Jamie. Now I'm like,
give it a try. It's possible. I've heard some people talk that they don't like the base controls. They don't like certain aspects of the way that the character design, like for example, when you swing your sword, there's a bit of a wait, like a millisecond wait where you can't just keep spamming the swing.
Well,
you got to swing and then jump back and then jump back in when you're ready to go again. You have to dodge. So some people don't like that, but I think it's great.
Yeah, that's dumb.
We live in a post Monster Hunter kind of world. I'm happy with that. Dark Souls is acceptable now, so that's fine too. Yes.
Unfortunately, it's not on Mac.
Oh, well, bummer.
Yeah.
Do you not have a PC, Griff?
Nope.
Oh my gosh.
That's
getting a lot of press. Hopefully it'll make it to a console. Oh, you know what? It will make it to a console because the guys who made it were on Subholmes.
I heard about this,
Holmes was like, hey, this should be on consoles. And they were like, we don't know the guy. And then Holmes was like, here's the guy's number. So hopefully it'll be on consoles.
PS4, please.
Yeah, would you just hook him up with Adam Boys? Or
I don't know.
Probably probably Nintendo people because he loves Nintendo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay.
Like unabashedly.
Yeah. Do you think that? I guess Nintendo's doing some cool stuff, but
they're courting indies. I mean, not that the Wii U is like a good platform from like a.
Well, I mean, Shovel Knight is coming to those devices, so Nintendo devices. So that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I can't wait to play that game, Jeff. I'm so excited for that game.
Shovel Knight?
Yeah.
Shovel Knight is awesome. Shovel Knight
I'm so jealous of you play. So when you played it, what did it really feel like an 8-bit thing? Did it feel like 8-bit looks but upgraded feel, or what was that like?
I would say in a lot of ways it did. I was expecting it to be like a complete copy of Mega Man. Like I was expecting Mega Man height jumps and like Mega Man style running and stuff. So when I actually picked it up, it was a little bit – the jumps were a little bit higher than that. But it definitely has that like old school NES or like even like, you know, Genesis, like early console feel where it's about pixel precision. It definitely does not feel new. You know, everything – it looks authentic despite the fact that I guess they kind of cheated a little bit. And it feels like a mashup of just DuckTales and Mega Man, and I can't complain about that.
No, that sounds great.
Plus, you can use your shovel to reflect projectiles back at enemies, and they travel in a little arc instead of going straight back. Mm-hmm. So you have to like line it up, and it's fantastic.
Nice. Huh. Every spell in Rogue Legacy is like that. Like one spell is an axe that you throw in an arc, so you have to like really line it up. Another is goes straight. Another is like a fireball that goes around you. That's another cool element of that game. And only the Archmage can switch between spells. Oh, there's so much depth. It's good.
You've sold me. I might be getting a PC here soon. So I am. Cool. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I might buy it now. See if I can play it on the trip.
Do it.
I would prefer it if it were for a console, though. Honestly.
Yeah.
It would make a lot of sense on every console.
But you say it's greenlit, so I mean, it's probably still. It's not early access. It's greenlit.
I think it might have been, and now it's like moved over into the official.
I think it
is
yeah,
it still in development, sort of thing, or like
no
live
no.
beta.
No, I think it was for a time, and now if you search for it on Steam, there's no indication that it's in that kind of
okay.
yeah,
in-between area.
I'm looking at it now, yeah. I think it was greenlit. Okay. I actually watched a Let's Play of it a couple months ago.
And you didn't think it was that interesting looking, and I can totally understand that, because but it feels different than it looks, I guess.
Yeah, the dude playing it was talking it up like, this is one of my favorite games in recent memory. Like, it's going to be something big. And I just was watching it, and I think it was mostly just like, I don't know, it didn't look as fun as it probably was. Mm-hmm. But hearing you talk about it makes me really want to buy it.
It also makes me want to play Dragon's Crown.
Are you going to, for Vita?
I don't have a Vita.
Is it coming to PS3?
Yeah.
Okay. Every Vita game is coming to PS3.
Because why not?
Because why would you want to sell Vitas? Yeah. I don't know any reason.
Well, I guess it's smart because, you know, they're like, hey, if you want to buy the game, you can get the game. But, you know, why would you buy it just for Vita? I mean, come on. Come on. Even we know.
even Sony employees don't buy Vitas.
You see that great Kaz Harai? It's that fake Kaz Harai Twitter account had an amazing tweet today that was like, just to put it in perspective, The Last of Us sold 3.34 million copies so far. That's that's 3.3 million copies more than PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale sold?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that game was a freaking disaster.
I was really well delivered.
Yes, it was. Yeah. I was going to say, it's probably more than actual Vitas have been sold in the world.
Yeah. Yep.
What is this Dragon's Crown? This is the booby game. That's all I know about this game.
Yeah.
It's Vanillaware.
That's literally all I know.
Griff, yeah. do you play Vanillaware stuff, Griff?
Not that I know of.
Muramasa, the Demon Blade?
Oh, then no. I mean, no, I would like, no. I don't have anything against them, but, you know.
Okay.
At the time, I didn't own a Wii.
What about Odin Sphere?
I don't think so.
Grim Grimoire?
Nope.
Okay. I haven't played them either.
Pass.
I wanted to see if you knew anything about
them. Well, I mean, when the trailer was showed off like 2-3 E3s ago for the Vita, and everybody was like, oh my God, it's Vanillaware. They're so good. And it was like, yeah, I mean, sure, that looks really pretty. It's just... I mean, if they did Muramasa, I guess that makes sense. It's a really gorgeous game, but
yeah,
you know, I tried playing it. I just didn't dig it.
I feel like all they do is make pretty, and the games themselves are kind of
Yeah. Oh, speaking of and things that were exceed published games, I noticed on looking at your trophy list for the PlayStation stuff, Jeff, that you played El Shaddai.
I played El Shaddai for like 10 minutes, and I was really tired that day. So I don't think I can really form a full opinion of it. I played it fully on the recommendation, I think, of someone at 1UP or something.
Yeah. Shane Bettenhausen, that was his baby.
Oh, that's game. Why I'm thinking of 1UP, because he was Ignition Entertainment.
Yep.
I think someone over one of the websites I used to go to gave it a good review, and I picked it up. And it immediately kind of seemed like there wasn't a lot going on, but I want to get farther because apparently it gets really weird. I want weird.
It's really weird.
Weird is awesome.
It's the weirdest. It's the weirdest.
Should I get farther, Griff?
I don't know. Like, you seem to have a lot of time on your hands. Sure.
Burns.
Is that like a no? Is that just a no?
I would say to anybody but Jeff, no.
But FF9 level 1, yes.
Well, I mean, as somebody who really liked the story of Xenogears, and you just like enjoy like batshit bullshit nonsense, very Japanese craziness, like you'll dig it, and it's awesomely beautiful. Like when I finished it, and well, at least I think I finished it, and my wife was watching me play it, and she's like, oh, this is just freaking stunning. Like, just the backgrounds that it's in, it's just gorgeous, super cool levels, but just weird as fuck. And
I'm excited.
There's weird things where like things would unlock that I'm not really certain I knew I had actually control over. Like, you would fight a boss battle, and then if you would win that boss battle, then the game would progress in a different way, I think.
Whoa.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Very, very strange.
I heard that it has like naked dancing in it. Like man naked dancing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. There is, I don't want to say anything more. I mean, it is a spoiler.
I want some man naked dancing
for kind of midway through the game. Something kind of interesting happens, but yeah. There's jeans.
Oh man,
denim, some raw ass denim.
So not the kind that you can't patent. The kind that you wear.
No,
on your body.
Not the kind you pass on to your rogue legacy.
That's awesome, Jamie. This game is loosely about angels and revenge or something, from what I gathered from the beginning of it. But it's like, also just batshit.
Yeah, it's like one of the Gnostic Bible stories or something, where it's like, hey, this is another story, but this time the devil has a cell phone and he's not bad.
This sounds beautiful.
Isn't it unique how this Japanese video game drew from the Christian Bible?
Oh, hey, this brings us all around here back to the beginning. I was going to say, before we moved on to other 3DS stuff, Jamie, if you want to start playing a SMT game, you should go to Shin Megami Tensei Persona and start with those games.
Oh.
Yeah.
Such as Persona 3, 4. Right?
Four.
Yeah.
I thought you were pushing 3.
No.
No, he was pushing 4.
4.
He was pushing 4. Okay.
Why don't you get Persona 4 the Golden on your brand new Vita that you're buying?
Get that sexy-ass Golden.
Can I play it anywhere else?
No.
Why would you want to?
You can play it on PS2.
You can play Persona 4 on PS2, which...
How much is a PS2?
$99.
Why?
Yeah. Because it's stupid.
Because Latin America.
They're also not being produced anymore, so good luck finding one new.
They're on Walmart for $100.
Amazon has them for like $200. They're weird. The prices are weird.
Should I go to Video Games New York and drop like $2,000 on the PS2 test kit that's the size of my computer tower?
Dude, I don't even think that would play in normal games.
Probably not. So cool, though.
Yeah, it is.
Is there only like a dev kit there or something?
Yeah, they have a dev kit. It's gigantic. Yeah. I mean, it looks like the PS2 vaguely, but instead of saying PS2 on it, it has in indented letters, it says the word tool. It's awesome.
Is this like one of those examples, like you go to a jewelry store or some sort of like fashion store, and like the device that's used to lock the merchandise to the location is bigger than the thing you're looking at itself? So you're like, oh, exactly. Cool. I see. This is really useful.
This store is really awesome. I went there with Jamie a couple weeks ago. It has like a virtual boy, like a fully functional virtual boy, or at least it used to be fully functional.
You can ask them to plug it in for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. It has like copies of Mother 2 and Mother 3 that you could purchase if you wanted.
Mother 2 or 3 or Earthbound?
Mother 2 and 3. And I think, I can't remember, did it have Earthbound, Jamie?
They did, didn't they?
I think they might have.
Whatever you asked them, they did have.
Yes. I asked them some weird shit, too.
Nice. Right next to the PS2 dev kit is a signed PS3. It's the Metal Gear Solid edition, and it's signed by Kojima. That's cool. Yeah.
And they have full gunmetal.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have a Miyamoto DS, like an OG DS,
signed by Miyamoto. They have a lot of great stuff, and they really do a lot of import business. There's a lot of people who buy those Japanese games. And I was talking to him another time, Jeff, and I was like, "So people who buy these, do they speak Japanese?" And the guy's like, "No, they just kind of muddle their way through."
We bought Japanese games.
We bought Japanese games. We made it through.
I played like 5 minutes of them.
I feel so bad for you, Jeff, too, because like, after you bought them, it was announced that they would be localized.
I didn't even buy the localized version because the game...
Yeah, it was like literally the day after. They're like, and Hammer and Hero come into the PSP near you in America.
Oh, that was Jamie.
Oh,
that
Jamie, okay.
Yeah.
I have that game. I still have it.
I bought Phantasy Star Zero against my better judgment, and then it was announced at E3 as being localized.
For the DS?
Yes, but I bought it... Or 500 yen.
Okay, I still have that too. And that game sucks a ton of butt.
Yep. I knew from just playing the Japanese version that the localized version would be bad too.
Yeah, yeah. However, there was not a ton of like boob poking jokes in that game. So very different from the Phantasy Star games on the PSP.
Yeah. Were there boob poking jokes in
those? It is. It is like, again... Back to the anime talk, like the weirdest sort of like pseudo pedophilia, old man poking young women.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's what Valkyria 2 became.
Yep. And you played it through.
I played it through. And then I really want to play 3. And I would almost try to play 3 just Japanese.
You can. But I think there is actually possibly a fan localization being worked on right now. I'm going to find.
How would that work? Would that be just like an emulation thing that I would download or?
No, you could play it on your PSP. The PSP has been like hacked through and through.
So I could like buy the game, Japanese game, put it in the PS3, have this other thing going on, and then it would like work, and I could play it.
Yep.
Awesome.
I'm copy-pasting the link to the translation project right now.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Do you know this thing called Google?
No, but you do. You're really good at it.
Yeah, I can Google them. Type in the words, and the results come back. Click them.
Jeff, you should knock this off. Like, you need to convince him to get a Vita instead of
actually, the Vita does have a PSP mode exploit.
Oh. You know what? I got a year ago. It's probably gone down since then. I asked the guy at Video Games New York how much I would get for my Ice Blue Japanese PSP, and he said that probably around $100-$150.
Nice.
So
is he talking yen or American dollar?
No, he's talking dollars. He's like, I'll give it to you for $100-$150 and I'll sell it for $150-$200. I was like, okay, so I could do that and get a PSP, but I can never trade that thing in. Could never trade it in. It's too beautiful.
Just get one of those awesome red and blue Vitas that they have there. It's not region locked, I don't think.
No, they're not, and they're Japanese, but they're those are $350.
Well, buy them. Play Asia. I was going to start saying Japanese things.
So my girlfriend watched me play the opening. Speaking of crazy Japanese crap, my girlfriend watched me play the opening of Revengeance today.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's glorious. It's so nonsensical and beautiful. And he's using his armpit to clean his sword off. And he looks like a creepy, creepy old businessman. Oh my God.
Oh, okay. I'm rewinding here.
Rewinding?
Sorry, I was trying to think about... I finished the game, and I'm trying to step back or think back to where you were. Like, armpit, business, old man, what the hell are you talking about?
He's using his, like, his opposite weenus to clean his sword. That's, like, his jam.
What the hell are you talking about?
When he is, like, after he killed someone, he rubs his sword on the inside of his elbow.
Yeah. As if that's like the most efficient way to clean your stupid sword.
Your stupid
lightning sword.
Yeah, Jamie was up there and I lent this to him. Neither of us have finished it, or I hadn't finished it.
Oh, you gotta finish it.
I love it. I think it's fantastic.
It's a okay. It's not a good game. That is that is a fact that I will debate with you to the depths of hell. But the end of that game, that last boss fight, is just it is glorious in how fucking retarded it is.
I feel like if you want it to be, I glanced at your review, Griffin, and if you want it to be like a really complex or like filled with depth character action game, then like no.
No.
Not at all. But it's also just amazing.
Well,
like,
superficially,
I don't care.
It's not that great either, because even superficially, like the basic level of gameplay is not great. Like what you're doing in that game, even on the really limited scope that it does give you, is not good. It's when you're hacking stuff up, like slashing the dudes and jumping around and flying and cutting it, like that's fun. But it gets really tedious really quickly, and it just doesn't play like a great action game.
So far, I'm not bored, but now you're making me worried.
Oh, have you fought the Metal Gear Ray thing?
Yes.
Okay, and have you progressed past that part?
Well, I beat the Metal Gear, and then I'm on a beach, and that's where I stopped.
So you haven't met the dog yet. Okay, you have a long haul ahead of you, and essentially everything that you've done in that first level, it doesn't get any better than that.
That's a little disappointing.
That,
but
that clock tower scene is like one of the high points.
That was so awesome.
Which is just the thing that sucks about that. This whole time I'm playing this game, I'm like, this is just a way worse Bayonetta.
You know what I was thinking during that clock tower scene? I was thinking like this. It reminded me of God of War 3, which I hated. Mm. But that like the beginning of God of War 3 is so epic, and you're flying places and climbing on giants, and then the rest of the game is just like God of War 2.
The rest of this game, the game is like I climb this fucking chain up and down forever.
Yeah. Oh my god.
See, for me, it was just like. I know the game itself is like really basic and not – it doesn't really evolve on any level. I mean you learn new combos, but they're kind of – they don't really do anything. I mean,
no,
like
you add one more X to your combo.
Yeah, but I just love cutting people up and just playing as like such a goofy, ridiculous character as Raiden enough that it doesn't matter.
I don't think that could wear off. He is just a ball of insanity. Makes me want to vomit.
Keep playing. Talk to me after you finish that game, and we'll see how your feelings towards Raiden still hold up. Because
we'll
it's bazonkers. Like it.
Let me ask you this, Griffin. Does he ever stop being like kind of intentionally, but kind of unintentionally campy?
No, that is held out through most of the game. It's just. The game doesn't really know where it wants to go with Raiden and the story it's trying to tell. So like he is campy, he is awkward, he is kind of a doofus, like kind of like the Snake Plissken from Escape from New York, sort of like a dumbass but badass. But the problem is he keeps getting into these really like Kojima situations where it's like, this is really fucking heavy stuff.
Yeah. I encountered one of them. And honestly, to me, that makes it even funnier.
Right. I mean, and when they release like the midpoint of the game, when you start doing the Jack the Ripper stuff, it's like, this, it just doesn't make any fucking sense. And this fight sucks so much.
All the enemies have drunk face syndrome. They all look drunk and kind of learning disabled.
Oh, like, are you telling me that Revengeance is a fetal alcoholism story?
They all look at you like, hey, he's smiling at you.
I feel like based on your description, Griffin, I'm only going to love this game even more.
Okay. I mean,
there's like no way that I could hate it.
You clearly have a lot more patience than I do for games with your Final Fantasy 1 level 1 thing. But I mean, I just was so frustrated by the end of that game where I was replaying boss battles over and over and over again because I just couldn't win them.
It is a little weird the way that you just get like utterly reamed, and like it can seem impossible. Like you'll just be hitting the guy over and over again, and you're like, why isn't this doing anything appreciable?
Did you get to the Jack the Ripper fight?
No, not yet.
The dude who has the magnet arms, Monsoon something or another.
I think I'm pursuing him right now.
Okay. That is the fight which kind of broke me on the game. Where I'm like, this is not well designed. It only gets worse from there, too.
Well, Jamie will probably get there before me because he's got it for.
I feel so bad now. I thought you finished it.
No,
this is like something that should never happen between friends. I've taken the game from you. You didn't even beat it.
You're gonna return it.
If I beat your game before you beat your own game, is it like if I had sex with your girlfriend on your wedding night? Is that what it's like?
That's already on the table.
There's the hole in the middle of the disc.
I'm literally getting excited looking at screenshots of this Valkyria Chronicles.
The story sounds so ridiculous. It sounds better than the last story, actually. That was the thing that, even for me, and I love Japanese games, I just found the story so bad. I was just like, I can't do this.
There's a gay guy.
Valkyria Chronicles 2.
There's always a gay guy.
I know.
And he's always ridiculously effeminate.
I'm going to fight for you. There's a screen that I'm looking at which is making me so excited, and it's a woman, and she says, "Welcome. You can't buy anything today. Come back again soon."
You should play Animal Crossing.
Yeah. Well, does the text get smaller and smaller as she says it? Because
you've literally summed up the entire gameplay of Animal Crossing, Jamie. I can't believe you monster.
Oh man. Do you guys are we gonna go to the Google Doc?
Oh,
the Google Docs.
I was gonna say, unless there's any other games you guys want to talk about, we could hit some of those topics that we didn't get to before.
I can tell you about a game.
Tell us.
Game's called Zombie U. Didn't sell very well.
Did you play that game? Did you love that game like so many? Well, it's a very divisive game. What did you feel about it?
I had it, and this is actually pretty funny. I played about 10 minutes of it, and I literally got too scared to continue. And I wanted to play it so badly today, but I had to pack for my trip. So that is the next game on my docket. But it was in the news recently that Zombie U was not even close to profitable, which is really sad.
Yeah. Which is why Rayman went multi-platform.
Yep.
Apparently.
And
interesting.
The Wii U is just a sinking ship. But I mean, you know, Nintendo games will probably keep it afloat.
Yeah.
Not looking good for that third party, though.
Yeah. You can say, what if Smash Bros. Doesn't save it, what will?
Yeah. I feel like Mario Kart is like the great hope. It should have come out this year.
Yeah, I feel that's like true. I guess it's a big one.
It's got to be what you said last time, Jeff. It's got to be the bring out the Smash Brothers and then drop the price $50 on top of it. And then people will be like, whoa!
We all know that price drop is coming. It's just a matter of timing. I don't think they wanted to do it in the first year because they didn't want to be like 3DS version 2.
Do you think they'll do it before Smash Bros. Comes out and try and get those people who are going to get the system for Smash Bros.? Or do you think they'll do it alongside it to entice more day one purchases?
What did they do with the 3DS? Do you guys remember? When did they? Because I know they cut the price right around when Mario 2 was coming out.
Not sure. 3DS came out in February of 2011.
Yeah. Right?
And the price dropped, I thought, 2 months later. And that's why they created the ambassador program to say, hey, we're so sorry that we dropped this price so heavily within such a short time frame. Like it was like June when they dropped the price or something.
I'm going to tell you right now. It was dropped on August 28th.
Wow.
Or July 28th. So... July 28th, sorry.
Oh, okay. That feel better.
Yep. And it was right around... Let's see. Did they announce anything? No, they didn't announce anything. So if they do that, maybe they'll announce a price drop like in the middle of that or like maybe at the end of the year, maybe just to get the holiday sales. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense. You do it during the holidays, try and pull some people in, but...
I feel like what they could do it right as Wind Waker is launching. Because
or,
I feel like
do it alongside Pikmin, since that's supposed to be coming out.
That's true, yeah.
I feel like people who don't love video games don't know about Pikmin. But people who don't love video games know about Smash Bros.
But people who don't know about video games aren't buying a Wii U.
You don't think so?
No. They already have their Wii.
I guess that's true.
You should check out – Game Informer did a really good video of just like man on the street interviews of people about what their thoughts are on PS4 versus Xbox One. It's really interesting the way that it's what comes from the story. Essentially, nobody knows what the fuck is happening. Your average person has no idea, and they have no idea what do we use.
I was just thinking about that today and how you're kind of right, Griffin. I feel like with the bundled Kinect, people are not going to see any difference between the Xbox and the PS4 except that one has a Kinect. And some people are going to be like, hey, I like that Kinect because I can turn my Xbox on with it. Maybe I'll buy the Xbox.
Yeah, that could happen for sure. But didn't GameStop just sell out of PS4s? That's a good sign, right? Hopefully, maybe.
Yeah.
Again, all those numbers are a bunch of nonsense. Like, how do you sell out of something that you don't have yet and you're not even quoted? Like, PS4s aren't even they're barely in production, if at all.
Like, yeah. Well, they have been number one on Amazon, which I think is more telling than GameStop running out of them.
But the thing is,
I officially pre-ordered mine.
I don't know if you don't get charged when you pre-order something on Amazon.
That's true. So it could
you
could
pre-order a gajillion copies of whatever and just cancel them.
But you got to figure that inertia takes hold once you pre-order it. It's like, oh, I have to cancel. It's too much effort.
Right, but I mean, there's also internet message boards where people are doing stuff like that, who are like Sony Defense Force. Let's jack these numbers up, destroy these polls. Like, you know,
that's probably true,
that mentality exists. That's why I just don't trust the numbers until things start actually getting into production, things start selling, and numbers start coming from the developers.
I never trust.
Chris, let me ask you your opinion on this. Do you think I am misguided for pre-ordering a PS4, or do you think that there could be an argument out there for doing that?
What?
Do you think it's a bad idea to pre-order a PS4?
No, not at all.
Oh,
we're all pre-ordering. Dude.
I mean, okay, no, I can see there is. I would say that there's not a problem with you pre-ordering a PS4, but I also say that there's a very solid. I think that I'm kind of a crazy person for wanting to be a day one adopter. Like,
there's inherent
risks with that beyond just like faulty hardware. Like, what if the system ends up not being that great? Like, you know, what if
I was asking that question divorced of how we all think about the PS4. I was really asking that question just to get a better sense of that article you talked about, the IGN article.
If
that really pointed towards the Xbox.
The Game Informer? So you want to know if you're right or not, is what you're asking. By the end of the video, their conclusion was like, literally, it goes pretty much down the line. Like, some people... It's exactly what you would expect. It's those big, heavy bullet points like, well, I hear that Xbox doesn't let you play video games that are not new. And these are just random people on the street. And the guy's like, oh, yeah. And like, and the PlayStation does, so the PlayStation's better and it's cheaper. And the guy's like, well, what if I told you you can play the same like used games on the Xbox now and you don't have to have any of that stuff? And they're like, oh, really? Oh, well, I guess they sound pretty good now. But I mean, if one's cheaper... And then, you know, it's exactly like, oh, well, the Xbox, that has all the Call of Duty stuff on it. So, I probably liked that one. Or, you know, Kinect, that's creepy. I don't want that. I would go with the Sony product.
Yeah, I feel like it's always, I mean, obviously it's always a bad idea to pre-order anything because of what Griffin said about risk. But I feel like if the hardcore people really like it and are really into it, it can't hurt.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, it's kind of like the whole Kickstarter thing that we talked about several episodes ago, where it's like, I have faith in this thing. I want to see it do well. I'm going to put my money to back this horse in this race.
I was literally today thinking about like doing a post on Facebook for people who don't know anything, and then I was like, I thought better of it, but I feel like we're the kind of people who feel passionately enough that we want to have some kind of, we want to feel like we can influence the direction mm-hmm. of the market. Mm-hmm. So our only way to do that is to pre-order the console we like and utilize it with other people or whatever. So
exactly. Sure. Being exposed to med school bros has really changed my view on what people think about these games and what people want from consoles. Some people just want their FIFA. Literally, that's it. They will pay $500 for FIFA.
FIFA's on both.
I know, but they like their one that they've been using so far.
If you go back and, I mean, if you've listened to any of the podcasts before, Andy, who was on, he did the music and stuff, he's just like ardently Xbox. Like, he's like, this is where my stuff is. I like the voice activated Kinect. Like, it's a system that makes sense to me. I like it, so I'm gonna stick with it. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I can give you points that show that it is inferior to what you want it for your needs, but fine.
Doesn't matter.
And he's like, you know, but he's like, I use this as a media center. I like the Kinect voice activated stuff. Like, it just works for him. So those people exist. It is kind of weird.
Like a warm, it's a warm blanket for them. It's like, hey, this is what I'm familiar with.
But
this,
I mean,
is
that, isn't that kind of like what you did with the or you, I mean, I'm saying you as in all of us with the PlayStation 3, like technically inferior device, but
what? Yeah,
it's that holdover from PS2 that you're like, I like you, Sony. I'm going to stick with you. This is where all my old games are that I can play.
I bought a launch console, but I waited about, I think, 2 years before getting into it.
You had an Xbox 360 first, right?
I got an Xbox 360 first. I got the Xbox 360 like a couple months after it came out, and played Oblivion, loved it, thought it was cool. Then I kind of just like stopped. I don't know what happened. And then I played Forza on it. I played Rock Guitar Guy, man.
Oh God, remember that, guys?
Man. I played a really shitty Star Trek game. There's a really shitty, shitty Star Trek game where it's like, here's your ship.
Oh, the top down twin stick shooter one.
Well, it was like a Rogue Squadron, but you're piloting the goddamn Enterprise, so it's like piloting a freaking oil tanker. played that, but then I kind of stopped because it wasn't delivering what I wanted, and then I waited, and then I picked up a PS3 a couple years later, and then I really got into it because there were games on it like Valkyria Chronicles that really, you know, connected.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I waited. I took my time before getting into the last generation, just because I was kind of unconvinced by it. I was like, what does this have to offer me? For the longest time.
Sure.
This is ridiculous to say, but I didn't even see a significant advancement in terms of graphics when I was looking at it until I actually got it. And now I'm like, okay, they're completely different. But at the time I was like, what is this whole HD hullabaloo?
Right.
Well, I'm kind of saying that now.
Wipe-mire.
You know, I mean, there's going to be a huge difference. I have a PC. I have a beautiful, brilliant PC. And I see the difference between playing Batman on my PC and playing Batman on my PS3. Right. But still, when I look at screenshots of like Watch Dogs, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe, I mean, it will be on PS3.
Yep.
So,
well, I think this is a great opportunity to tie in something Jeff, or maybe Jamie, I don't know which one of you wrote it, but asking like, is graphics a gimmick, and something along the lines of like, what were some of the gimmicky things from this generation? Will we see them moving forward into the next?
Yeah, I was actually thinking about Nintendo. But yeah, that's as a bigger question. It's like, is graphics a gimmick? Is, you know, I don't know. I can't even form words. No words.
I feel like you're right, Jamie. I feel like it is a gimmick. I mean, here's the question. What new gameplay experiences are we being offered in the new generation? Like, other than just better graphics.
I'll tell you one. I'll give you one. It's the pull out, and then it's been multiplayer the entire time. That's your one big advancement.
Yeah, that's not a function. I mean, you're right. Yes, Griffin, you are.
I'll tell
right.
you something we didn't do last gen Xbox One One and PS2. We didn't duck behind things and then pop out, shoot things. We were just we were just shooting them. Now we're hiding behind stuff.
But I think Jeff, that may not be the right question to ask right now, because like if you're looking for innovation at the start, like from especially from like third party companies and stuff like that, like it might be a little too early to ask.
Well, I don't think it's not so much that I'm looking for innovation at the start. I'm just saying, what is there to carry people into the new generation? Like, what is there right now to get people over, except for the promise, this nebulous promise of better graphics, which aren't even really that much better. And also, a lot of these games are cross-gen. So I feel like it pretty much is a gimmick. I mean, I think, you know, 2 years, 3 years down the line, it's not going to be a gimmick. There's going to be something something going on there, but
wait,
right,
I mean,
now.
Gimmick, I guess I'm not entirely certain. How are you saying the graphics are gimmicky and that they can be done without?
I think so. I mean, I guess maybe the big advancement would be, like, the advancement you gave is not really graphics based.
No.
It's an infrastructure thing, yeah. Hardware thing.
You're asking, like, what is something new that the consoles are doing that we haven't been able to do with previous things besides graphics?
Sorry, well, what I meant to ask is what are better graphics enabling, really?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Nothing, right? Like, but
yeah,
that's,
exactly.
But then we should all just go back to the NES, right? Like,
I mean, I like NES games.
But graphics are also impressive, and like the set pieces are fun. And if the better the graphics look, like the more closely we approach the Uncanny Valley, like the more kind of just appealing in like a raw aesthetic sense something will be, where you're like, God, that is gorgeous. Like, I just want to look at Nathan Drake's hair follicles more.
Like, you guys have to play Mother 3, because that's my argument against. I mean, obviously, there's always going to be an outlier, an exception to the rule, or exception that proves the rule. But you guys should play
Jeff.
Mother.
this console generation, 3. I'm definitely going to try that game, Jeff. I'm going to beat it. Don't worry. But okay. I feel like something a unique thing with this generation in terms of the graphics and like the differences and the hardware in each console. Is that the hardware in the consoles will not only allow for better graphics, but a unique thing for this generation is that with the x86 thing going on, which everyone knows how to program for, we're going to get like better ideas faster and they're going to look pretty. So in that way, graphics may not be a gimmick, because this, I don't know, mechanism that we're being given is going to allow people to make cool stuff quickly. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, so you're saying that like you're removing one of the bottlenecks to development. Like previously for the PlayStation 3, if you had great ideas and big ambitions, you had to push them through like a swollen urethra, like you know, through this development hell of trying to figure out how to make it work on a cell.
Yeah, exactly. And now you don't.
Right.
I would say I think that's kind of a result of both better graphics and also an attention to like easier programming protocols. Like I understand that the PS4 is really easy to develop for because they've spent a long time on their tool chain. I know that Naughty Dog specifically in the last generation, their work on the PS3 greatly simplified development for it. So I think it's a combination of both improving the graphics, which definitely takes away bottlenecks. I mean, that is important. But also having just like a better, leaner tool chain that's easier to use. I think that's really important. And I'm actually quite encouraged by the fact that Sony's really talking that up. Jamie was citing that Time to Triangle video, which he can probably talk about better than I.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I ended up watching that.
Yeah.
That thing's brilliant. And they changed – another thing they did, which is
Ice
kind
team.
Of not even – not e- yeah, exactly. Not even technical – they changed the culture because that guy, what's his name again?
Mark Cerny.
Mark Cerny was talking about how before Ice Team, which is essentially a team in Naughty Dog, before that, different development houses would come up with advances, ways to take advantage of Cell. And instead of sharing them, they would just keep them to themselves because it was like a point of pride.
But that's
like
a very Japanese mentality there.
Exactly. Like we found this.
We
awesome
rebuild
way.
The engine for every Final Fantasy.
Exactly. And then his team like encouraged sharing, which was a huge sea change in terms of.
Yeah.
So that is not a technical thing, but it is like a huge difference. Just being able to put those tricks up. For everyone to use.
Yeah.
That's the thing that gives me hope that maybe like all the big companies won't go bankrupt next generation, because maybe they're finally starting to realize that like you have to find a way to make this easier and less cost intensive. Because otherwise, like there was some post on Gaff today. I don't know if it was legitimate or not. Apparently Cliffy B tweeted that he overheard at E3 that some game had to sell 10 million copies to break even, which is just ridiculous.
Was it Hitman or Tomb Raider?
I don't know what
or
it was.
Sleeping but, Dogs.
But there's just no way. I like you.
Wait, maybe
I
it's
can't.
Final Fantasy 13 3 Lightning Returns again.
No, it was Cabela's Deer Hunter Price shot.
Yeah, but that'll sell it.
Probably.
That the game that comes with the gun with the pulse monitor on it? Yeah.
The thing is, like, how long is it going to be before even 10 million of these consoles have proliferated? Like, that's going to take a long time. And, like, that's what I was talking about the other day with cross-gen. Like, what's going to happen during this transition? Like, is it going to be, like, close to as bad as it was on the Wii U? I don't think it's going to be as bad in terms of the... I could see a future, or I could see the next couple of months being pretty rocky in terms of AAA titles.
But
which is why
I think we talked about this before too, and I think that people are hungry for a new system. People don't want to go in on a Wii U. They want a real next gen system. Like, I think that your fears of this kind of like being this real stutter step start of a new generation, first of all, happens every time. Every time it doesn't sell out well enough, but yet there's still no products in the stores for people to buy. So I think we hear both sides of it. And I think that the AAA titles that are coming are going to keep coming. Like, there was that new Sony thing that came out today, like the When Worlds Collide Facebook image.
Yeah, I hope it's not Battle Royale 2, because that would be just a horrible mistake.
PBR?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still worried about it. I don't know. I don't see these systems, even if they sell really well, I don't think they're going to... Like, the Galaxy S4 came out, like, a couple months ago. It's already sold 20 million copies. I do not see any of the next-gen consoles breaking 20 million in a month. And I feel like in order for them to allow for the kind of sales numbers that these people need, they pretty much have to.
Yeah, I mean, but that's something that developers... I mean... Like we said, like we've talked about this before, like this is an ongoing issue, and eventually you're going to either burn out or you realize you have to scale back some part of your production and, you know, make a cut cost somewhere. And if they burn out, then they get replaced by a different company, and then, you know, the indies become these larger studios and start cranking out bigger, prettier games, and, you know, the cycle repeats itself.
Yeah. Someone was talking in another video that I found on YouTube with Mark Cerny. And Mark Cerny said that it may even be that so teams are going to have to pare down their costs, but they don't need to pare down the costs of what goes into the actual game. He said that if there are some studios that spend ungodly amounts of money on uninteractable cutscenes, and like maybe they cut those out, and people will suddenly find that they can make a game for 75% of the cost that it was before. Who needs those anyway?
Well, it's also, even in a different mindset, it's like start looking at indie developers. You know, how big is your typical indie development studio? Roughly less than 10 people. Yet somehow they're able to knock out this really fantastic award-winning game. And though, you know, it doesn't have cutscenes, or maybe it does have cutscenes. It's just the size of the team you're working with. Mm-hmm. You know, is going to be different. Yeah. You have people that can fill multiple roles. Like Naughty Dog is, again, a fantastic example with people who are very, very good at what they do. So you need less of them.
Yeah, you can't have like the Ubisoft model of like 1,000 people working on one game.
Like this game sweatshop. Yeah. It's just, but everybody gets paid hella dope.
Yes. I was going to say, I hate to beat a dead horse here with the indie game thing, but that's part of why I'm buying into PS4, because I think indies are going to be what's kind of happening for the first year or so on the system. So, but I'm happy about that. I love my indies. So
Sony also has a ton of really good first party studios that haven't blown their load yet.
Gamescom. Gamescom is a Vita show.
It's Gamescom.
they said that Gamescom is going to be a Vita show. I want to believe. They've said this about every trade event. It's always going to be a Vita show. It never is.
There's someone in the marketing department who tells them to say that every time.
It's like, fuck, we sold 2 Vitas last month. Tell them it's a Vita show.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's bad news.
Hey, at least, you know, Gamescom is going to be a little more exciting this year than any years previous. I mean, that and Tokyo Game Show. I mean, something fun to look forward to, unlike the last 2 years.
That's true. Very true.
Do you guys think that the Oya, real quick, just I'm just thinking about consoles now. Do you guys think the Oya will last?
Dude, your pronunciations are so weird.
Ouya.
No.
Do you think it'll no?
No, it's a piece of shit.
We don't even need to you don't need to say more than that. Griffin, do you think no also?
Yes. Is that the answer to say there? I agree with Jeff.
Yeah, I agree with Jeff too. But some people on websites are like, it's so jacked. That's why I love it.
And it's so jacked?
They fucked up the controller, which is the thing you need to get right. And even in the video,
the Stradivarius of this controllers.
This is what blows my mind. In the video they were showing, the controller looked awful.
Yeah, it looks disgusting.
And I was like, no way am I going to fund this video. Program.
This, again, like I said before, the Ouya was just blue ball relief for people who are like, I want a new console. And then they're like, here, would you like to be on the forefront of this cool new thing? And it's a new console. And people are like, yeah, it's only $100 too. Okay, that's fine. It's probably going to suck, but I'll just not say that.
I don't know. I think a lot of people who bought into it were like excited. They were like, oh, we're going to effect a paradigm shift. We're going to have free games.
I think people lied free to games for everyone about that.
Yep. Yeah. They heard the word free and they're like, fuck.
I don't
free
think
games.
Any people went into an Ouya. I don't think any smart people went into an Ouya saying, I believe in this market.
I think you should have just cut the sentence. I don't think any smart people went into an Ouya cut.
No, I think smart people did buy it. I just think that it was more of like, this is interesting and I'd like to see if this does fail.
Yeah. I just kind of knew from the beginning. I mean, I guess it could have been good, but.
No, it couldn't have. Like, what would made it have good? Well, it's a fucking phone that you connect into your TV.
If they didn't fuck up the controller, it could have at least been interesting.
You can plug an Xbox 360 controller into it if you really want.
You can plug PS3 controller into it.
Come on. That's ridiculous. Like, it needs to be a complete package.
Yeah, I agree.
But it still sucks. Like, when you plug the controller and I hear the latency is still egregious.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's it was bad news.
Sorry I brought that up, guys. We can move on.
No, it's fine.
It's very interesting.
I'd like to talk more about the Ouya.
is the mentally challenged sister.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's actually just an OG droid.
Did either of you guys buy it? Did either of you own Move related devices for your console?
No.
Nope.
Oh, okay. That was short. Hell no. What am I, a crazy person?
Dude, you can. The Move still works with the new one. With
thank
the
God.
PS4.
Yeah. Thank God.
Oh, I wanted to add one little point, Jamie, to your little comment about gimmicks just in general. I think we will see in the new generation, if the PS4 is successful, I think we will see a move away from gimmicks, because I think when they made the decision to cut the camera, I think that kind of affected their whole strategy, because I feel like when they put the light bar on the DualShock, that was like prepping for gimmicks.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like not if one of the big guys isn't packing in a gimmick, especially if they remain relevant and important, I feel like we're going to move away from gimmicks for a little while.
Well, good point. And I mean, would also
like, just because it's there doesn't mean it's going to be integral. Like, the six axis is still a part of every controller, and I mean, what uses it? Nothing.
Last of Us
does, but essentially that's just, you could take that out and it's not going to change the experience.
You lie.
No, I don't.
That was the whole game to me.
The thing I want to say in terms of the graphics
shake
and gimmicks
the batteries
is that
back into place.
The cell was crazy. The cell is crazy, and that was what was crazy about it. It warranted the $600 price tag because you're getting a supercomputer, but now you're getting an x86 computer, and it's kind of on the curve or behind the curve. Mm. And a lot of people have been saying that in the past consoles have benefited from being on the curve or behind the curve. Mm-hmm. So maybe that'll get rid of the graphics as a gimmick type thing. One thing I'm worried about, and I wrote this on the Google Talk, and I think Griffin just responded no, is that I, for some reason, I don't think that this console generation, and I really don't know why, but I have a hunch for some nebulous reason that this console generation won't last anywhere close to 10 years. I'm going for classic, you know, 5-ish year generation, and I'm thinking that in 5 years, these companies are going to come out and be like, remember those 4K TVs you're not buying? Here's something that you can use for your 4K TV that you're not buying. so that we can sell 4K TVs.
No, I remember why Sony, I said no.
Sony of yesteryear would do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Of yesteryear.
Yeah.
But not this year?
I don't think so.
No.
Did you want to say something before I jump in, Griffin?
No. You take this. Okay. I actually got to grab my charger again. I'll be right back.
I feel like, I mean, obviously in terms of graphics, I mean, just rendering something in 4K is going to be unbelievably taxing. I just feel like the reason this last generation was so long is because development costs are out of control. And I don't think they've really been managed yet. So I feel like they're going to want this generation to be really long.
Do you think that rendering in 4K will be prohibitively expensive in 5 years?
I don't think that 4K televisions will be prohibitively expensive in 5 years, but I think that 4K rendering will be prohibitively resource expensive in 5 years. Like, I think that in 5 years, like, the highest end graphics card might struggle with like crisis on 4K. Like, that's four times the pixels you're rendering.
Yeah.
A full 1080p resolution. That's a lot of cost. That's not only is that a cost in terms of just like having a beefier graphics card, like with more shaders and whatever, but it's also like you need more VRAM. Mm-hmm. I see that being really difficult to target. And like, even like, look at the shit they're putting out now. Like, not like Titanfall is not 1080p. They suspect, mm-hmm. like Eurogamer did a Digital Foundry thing about it. And they're like, yeah, to get 60 frames a second, they probably gave up 1080p. And like, The Order.
That's so funny.
The Order isn't 1080p. Like, even in this new generation, they haven't hit 1080p in 60 frames per second yet. I don't think that any developer is going to decide that 4K is worth it.
Gotcha. You made a very compelling argument. I did not know that. I did not know that they're not hitting 1080p with these things. Jesus Christ.
doesn't that make your new console purchase feel even more existentially just meatless?
It hurts me.
But it's only $400. It's not that bad. It's one of the cheapest new generations like ever.
It's
in terms
true.
Of inflation. So I'm okay with it. I'm very encouraged by what is happening with the PS4.
Me too.
So
I meant what I said about the benefiting from being on either on the curve or slightly behind the curve.
Oh, totally.
Because
yeah.
I feel like it frees them up from thinking about ways that they can shake things up.
Well,
and maybe just think about making a good game.
Yeah, I think it was a direct response to last generation because like making the cell almost bankrupted. Well, they didn't bankrupt, but Sony lost billions and billions of dollars on the cell.
Yeah.
And what did they get for it? They got a system that was weaker than the 360.
Yeah.
It's just like such a waste of time and effort. And I'm sure that it took a lot of like, you know, taking Japanese businessmen to clubs or whatever to get them to finally agree not to do all their own shit in-house. But mm-hmm. I'm glad they are doing it. I'm
it's all that Mark Cerny fellow.
And I feel like after playing Last of Us, like I'm okay with Western development if that's what it looks like. To me, that game felt a little bit Eastern. And if they can do that, I'm okay with that.
I agree completely.
Okay. Hello.
Jamie and I were talking about our love of Japan things and Western things combined.
And then Jeff told me like 1,000 amazing reasons why 4K won't be a thing in even in the generation after the next generation.
Yeah, well, I agree with all of them because it's true.
I was telling him how Titanfall is not, though Eurogamer thinks it's not running at 1080p.
Okay.
Just the point being that I don't think they're going to be touching 4K with a 10-foot pole anytime soon.
Oh, you mean using that as an example of like games will never utilize 4K level
exactly.
of resolution. Hell no.
It's not worth it. Like every developer last generation was like 1080p is not worth it. Right. And this generation, some of them are even like 1080p is not worth it.
Right. This generation, they can barely hit 60 frames with 30 frames. Like, you think you're going to get 1080 resolution on anything? Just, I mean, come on.
See, I did not know that because on my computer, I mean, I think of my computer as roughly equivalent to a next-gen console, and my computer runs Tomb Raider 1080p with her beautiful hair flowing in the wind, unlike I've never seen.
That's a
Tress effects. So I was, I guess I was just misguided there. But now I totally understand that I should not be thinking of that, and I definitely shouldn't, because I've been dreaming about 4K TV, but that dream that dream is not worth it.
Could I just jump in and say that the marketing, the copy for TressFX was hilarious because the line was, "Now Lara can take care of her own hair." I don't even know what the hell that means.
It doesn't make any sense at all. Do you know what the benchmark for that game is? For in Batman, the benchmark is Batman like jumping around Gotham, beating the shit out of people. There's vines, and you're on a city. It's crazy. And then the benchmark for Tomb Raider is literally her fucking face.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say it's like a strong breeze going through her hair.
Literally, that's it. She's standing on a cliff, and it's her goddamn face. And if you turn the hair on, it's like your computer starts making demon noises and humming and vibrating.
That's the kind of thing that makes me feel like graphics are silly, even though I'm sure it looks awesome.
I think it looks great. My girlfriend and everyone else who sees it is like, it looks like there's a spaghetti alien on her head.
So ridiculous. I love it. Love computers. They're so funny.
That's worth, you know, $2,000 right there.
Just the hair textures? Yeah, baby.
Just the hair textures.
Just slot in that GeForce Titan.
That's right. Two of them.
Oh, man. So, was there anything else on the doc that we should get to?
I can't remember. I mean, I'm not able to access it right now.
Okay. Well, I wrote about how Nintendo has reversed its Let's Play scheme.
Oh yeah. What is up with that? That's for real?
Yeah. Well, I saw some reporting on it, just a little bit back in late June, like June 24th or something.
Oh.
People were talking about how some of the big names were having basically their content claims were reversed. And it sounded like the tide was starting to shift back, and it sounded like there was going to be a widespread reversal. I hadn't really followed up after that, but I was
wondering if that had came out in that weird Q&A from Nintendo like a week or two ago that was just like a raw text dump of like, hey, so you were wondering about why this is like this. Okay, here's our answer. Like it was super raw, super candid. Like, I was wondering if you read it in there.
No, and I just searched it on Google News, and there was no official statement, but I'll go ahead and just let you know what it says. So there's this guy, Zach Scott Games, and he was the original personality that had this whole issue happen. No, that's his
born
YouTube
into the
handle.
Role.
Anyway, so Zach Scott Games was like the original person to have content claims brought against him, and his content claims are being reversed. So I believe that I wish I haven't been watching any Let's Play videos recently, so I haven't been following the politics of it, but I get the sense that just from this article that the revenue is coming back to this guy. Let's see, has anyone said anything?
Are you asking me?
No, I'm looking. Yeah, it sounds like some sort of middle ground is being reached. At least Nintendo is responding to fans, which kind of got me thinking about how I guess with the proliferation of stuff like Twitter and the internet and like no DRM campaigns and all this crap, companies now are pretty much forced to listen to like consumer whining. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, like, do you guys think that's like a good thing or a bad thing or like a neutral thing? Like I wrote about, like I said, some examples were like Operation Rainfall and like the Xbox One DRM
and
as positives.
You also brought up, Mass Effect 3.
Exactly. Or, like, you know, giving in to the complaining about the Mass Effect 3 ending
Fallout
and stuff like that.
Ending.
Yeah. Just like stuff like that. Like, is this a good thing, a bad thing? Like, what do you guys think?
I think it's a great thing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, how would it be a bad thing? Like, I can't even see, like, the fact that these giant, you know, Zaibatsus are responding to these little people. You know, it is fantastic that you know, NeoGAF can create such a response to, you know, just a couple thousand people can make a huge difference to this giant conglomeration.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that, like, in the case of, like, the Mass Effect ending, do you think there's a risk of compromising integrity? Do you think that it might have, like, sort of an unintended consequence of actually making the games market even more homogenized and generic.
I don't think so. I know I don't, because I think that with those specific examples, that is games coming out, being released, and then being patched to suit the whines of people later on. So that experience can still be had in its original form. So they're not like deleting that from your memory banks, and now all you know is that you know Mass Effect 3 had some extra cutscenes.
Mm-hmm. But for me, what I'm afraid of, like, I'm thinking of, like, let's say a trailer for a game is shown. Here's a great example: the Devil May Cry game, the reboot that just came out, you know, earlier this year. People DMC. Were going, yeah, DMC.
Excellent
people
game, were going, by the way. Excellent game.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. The story is weird to me, but it's pretty fun. I was going to say, people were going nuts because Dante, like, had a new haircut. And people were like, I can't do this. Devil May Cry is ruined. This game is going to suck. And they hadn't even seen gameplay. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, can't you just leave well enough alone? And, like, are publishers going to cave to this kind of pressure?
Yeah, that's right. That happened with Infamous, too, with the shitty Cole.
Yeah, they made Cole Ball. I was so bummed. I was like, "Hey, I might actually play that game. Cole has long hair. Hey, this is
seriously."
I'm not even shitting you. I would like.
Now he's got all these dumb bicycle tats.
Infamous to me got a little boring. I think we talked about this, Griffin. Like, I liked it for a while, and then it was the same game just over and over again. And I know you platinumed it, but for me, it got a little boring. And I saw the second one. And I was like, "Oh, hey, like they're changing it up a little." And then for me, them getting rid of his long hair was like emblematic of how not interesting this game was going to be.
Interesting. Infamous 2 is a brilliant, or it's not a brilliant game. It's a super fun game to play. And I think that what they do with the evil ending is one of the most touching and intense moments in a big budget game like that, that no one will ever know about.
Interesting.
There is really heavy stuff in there.
It's interesting that you guys are talking about this type of thing, because as you are doing this, I'm reading one of those many articles about how the PS4 DualShock 4 LED light won't be able to turn off. And I'm reading the comments on the Polygon article. People are freaking out.
They're so mad. I don't
get it. They're like, I won't be able to play my scary games because the light will ruin the ambiance, and they don't care about hardcore gamers anymore.
So you tell me that Mad Catz needs to create some tape peripheral? Actually, black that's masking tape?
There was a thing on NeoGAF about that. They're like, incoming Mad Catz Pro DualShock 4 cover.
Literally, people are talking about how...
Wait, like, are you telling that people on the internet are complaining about something?
Dude, it's a constant. If there is something on the internet, people will complain about it.
If there is something new, people will complain about it.
But it just never ceases.
That's exactly my point, though, Griffin. If there is something new, people will complain about it.
Right.
But this is amazing to me. This is like the other ones. I see them coming. I did not see this coming.
But here's what I'm getting at, though. If there's something new, people will complain about it. Publishers don't like complaints. So, will there be something new?
No.
I know it's ridiculous, kind of, but I'm just a little nervous about it. I don't – like, I like complaining when there's something truly wrong, but I don't like the idea that
– You're like, that guy's arm looks like hot dogs. Fuck this game.
I don't like the idea that, like, people can bitch about a haircut and cause the vision of the game to be somewhat compromised just because a bunch of people bitched. Like, I don't like the idea.
How do you know that vision? I mean, that's the thing, is like, whenever it's early bitching like that, where it's like, well, this game's in development and this guy looks like this, and people are like, why, how dare you make him look like this? Like, how much of the game do you think has changed just based on that saying, okay, we'll make him have blonde hair now?
Like, I mean, probably not that much. I mean, you're right, Griffin. It's probably not that big a deal. But I just worry about it. That's all. That's why
I don't know. When I was working for a politician, they have people who figure out how many people are represented by a single comment. And then they keep track of what everyone's saying.
That sounds
saying,
like a bullshit job.
and if they breach a certain number, they just react. They don't even think about it. They're just like, okay, now we're doing this. And it's like, I wouldn't be surprised if they had a similar type of situation going on with their PR people keeping an eye out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, again, that's a bunch of bullshit that I don't like. Like, I don't like that there are people getting paid to measure that level of crap out there. It's just like, you know, if I like the idea that if people complain or, you know, voice their opinions, it can be heard, because that's who you're selling your things to, right? Like, if people want Blonde Dante, then give them Blonde Dante. Just make, if that's the one, you know, little change, the one thing you have to make, do it.
Here's my thing, though. Like, let's say that the Twitter mob was like a thing in like 2002 or 2003 or whenever Wind Waker was announced. Mm-hmm. People were losing their shit. Like, even there wasn't like an internet then. Like, I don't know. People were just banging rocks together or something. Like, even I knew that people were losing their shit over Link looking like a cartoon. And like, I feel like I'm afraid that shit like that might become endangered when. Like, I look at, like, what's happening – this is – I hate to get off topic, but I look at what's happening in the political landscape with people who express any view that is not groomed very carefully, and I worry that sort of thing is happening all – like, in the video game world as well. So, like, games will be groomed more and more, and I'm inherently suspicious of focus testing because I think consumers sometimes don't know what they want.
Exactly.
Sure. Well, I mean, and that goes into, like, the artistic side of video games too. Like, somebody is creating them, this is somebody's design. Like, if you're gonna crowdsource your game, then fucking crowdsource your game. Like, there's a place for that too.
I feel
like every week I say something about Apple and I have to stop, but Steve Jobs never used focus groups. He's just like, if I like it, then there's got to be some people who will also like this thing that I'm making. And I feel like hopefully that attitude will make a resurgence.
I think you guys are both right. I think there'll probably be some of each. There's going to be the big guys who react completely, and then there's going to be people who maintain their integrity, even if people complain.
So, I mean, is this not just the same kind of discussion we already had about, like, indie versus AAA? Like, if one goes the way of the dinosaur, the other one is there to fill that need and role, and then, you know, eventually, you know, it will become the evil master, and there will be the little people that rise up again to the cycle. Like, it's fucking Matrix. It's
Griffin. Can I say that you have an awesome long term level headed perspective, and it is so right, but also so kind of annoying, because you make me feel so much better in a way that's almost
if I could
annoying.
Give the internet a chill pill.
You are the ultimate chill pill, but you are very much right. I'm just teasing you about being annoying. You're completely on the money, and you have a good long-term view.
You know who needs a chill pill? The guy in the Polygon comments for the controller thing. Whoa. Where someone was like, just put black tape over it, and some guy was like, no, dude, it'll shine through.
As if electrical tape wasn't designed to cover LEDs.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my god,
dude! Have you seen the picture of like a freeze frame of a video where someone circled the reflection of the light bar on the screen?
Yes, yes, I have. It's like that used to be reserved for fucking 9/11 conspiracies.
Fucking love it.
Are you telling me that the light bar gets hot enough to melt plastic tape?
I'm telling you that the light bar was an inside job.
Mark Cerny planned the light bar from day one.
Yes.
Oh my god.
The double agent from Microsoft installed the light bar.
Yeah. The light bars are there so the drones can see you.
We should do an unboxing of the PS4 where we were so excited, then we set it up and we just can't play any of the games because of the light bar. Just ruined the entire console.
One of us futilely tries to turn off the light bar and we just go, fuck!
Yeah, Jamie, forget 4K TVs. It's going to have to be like null reflection TVs.
Oh, man.
Like, it's gonna, yeah, e-ink TVs.
Oh, man. Lots of little iron filings.
That's right.
So let me just are we all set with that particular thing?
I think so.
I was going to just move down the document a little more because I haven't.
Yeah, go for it.
I wrote a thing about how EA admitted that Origin sucks balls.
Oh, nice.
And also another EA game came out that just didn't work and probably won't ever work. But it's still on sale at the store.
Oh, is that the Darkspore situation?
Yep.
Explain to me. Isn't Darkspore, didn't that come out a long time ago?
Maybe it did. I didn't. Let me just look.
I thought Darkspore came out relatively recently after Spore, and it utilized like the Spore engine, and it was like, hey, this is kind of like Diablo Spore, and it had some multiplayer features to it. And that whole article was like the fact that it still has servers, but only 4 people are playing it or something like that.
I didn't look that carefully at it, and I'm looking now. It looks like it may well be an old game, and the problem may have been that it was on Origin, mm-hmm. and on Origin it like wasn't working. There was some kind of authentication issue, and the game just stopped working. And I guess the internal rumblings were like they were just going to let it die.
Mm. If either of you have access to a phone, you might find this interesting, or some device. Of all the big publishers out there right now, EA has been the only one that has taken an upward turn since kind of this year.
Wow. That's kind of sad.
They've also were the only company that had a positive fiscal report.
Mm.
Like they were the only people that said, like, we're ready to do this. We have all these titles in the chamber, and we are set. It's we're going to do it. And Activision's like, this is going to be hard. This is going to be really hard.
It is very smart of them to put like all of their new games on Frostbite.
Yeah.
That is smart.
One engine.
Yeah, they'll save the money.
Yep. It's like Unreal, you know? You make the engine good. It's what Konami's doing too. Fox Engine.
Yeah, and they're kind of small now, comparatively.
Yeah.
So they pretty much have to put all their shit on Fox. The other thing that I was going to say is apparently they put Darkspore back on Steam and they were telling people to buy it there, which I think is funny.
That's good.
Do you guys use Origin at all? I've mercifully avoided it.
I have no choice.
Yep.
What do you guys use it for?
Far Cry 3. Gotta play it.
Cry, you don't, Jamie. That's you play.
Oh, I'm lying to you. Oh, you know what I used it for? Batmang.
That's also on Steam, though.
You know what I used it for? Mass Effect.
Yeah.
There we go. Mass Effect 3.
Griffin, Mass Effect. Yay or nay? Are you for or against Mass Effect?
As an idea? Love it.
I was referencing... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Me?
I was referencing the Dennis Dyack thread about Too Human, but yeah, go ahead. Tell me about Mass Effect.
No, what the hell are you talking about? What is the too human? What is happening right now?
Dennis Dyack had a thread that got him banned on NeoGAF. It was just too human, for or against.
Oh, okay, yeah, his meltdown. You're talking about that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, I actually do want to know what you think about Mass Effect, because go ahead and tell me as an idea.
Well, yeah. Oh, no. There's nothing to say about it. Like, I liked Mass Effect. Yeah, who didn't? Right?
I wasn't grabbed.
Jeff doesn't.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair enough. Like, I can understand. If you don't like shooters, it's not going to do anything for you.
Yeah. The strange thing is I found myself enjoying what I played of the first game, which I'd say was about like 2 or 3 hours, a lot more than I enjoyed the second game. And okay. I think it came down to not liking the third-person shooter part of it.
Sure. Sure. And that was actually, I'm right there with you. Like, I loved the first game quite a bit. Much like I loved Uncharted 1 a lot.
Interesting.
I loved Uncharted 1.
I never loved played it. Uncharted 1.
I really, really liked it. Those games. But, I mean, Uncharted 1 was not because of any, like, technical merits or anything that the first Uncharted did. It was great. It was just an unrefined Uncharted 2. And I think it kind of Mass Effect 1 was an unrefined Mass Effect 2, but in the refinement process, you lost a lot of like those kind of heavy, clunky RPG things that made Mass Effect.
Yeah, which I love.
Right,
I love
do
the
too.
Heavy, and, clunky and RPG stuff.
They were sieved out even more for Mass Effect 3, but I mean, I think 2 struck that perfect balance for a gamer like myself.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of my favorite games of all time. The best part about Uncharted 1, Jeff, mm-hmm. is that when Drake Ding, in terms of platforming, like from jumping from point, he ceases to look like a man, and he starts to look like a monkey on speed. And that was the best part for me. He looks like a weird monkey man, and I just thought it was so funny to watch him crawl around stuff. You got to play it.
That sounds amazing. You know, it was not a good Uncharted game.
I can take Golden a Abyss. Guess.
The PS Vita one.
Golden Abyss. Golden Abyss has so many mandatory rubbing puzzles. It's not. It's kind of funny.
We're gonna get a ton of those with the PS4. I hope.
That's right. Rub the light bar.
Rub the light bar.
No, you're gonna use a little touchpad. It's gonna be like do things on it.
Yeah.
Touch it.
Yeah.
Crouch flat bars.
Is that something that sounds appealing to you guys at all? Like the touchpad? Is that a thing that you feel like that's a selling point? Or is that just like a hey?
Can I tell you the weirdest thing?
Maybe this will be used for something.
Weirdest thing for me is when I saw the touchpad, I was like, gross. I don't want that. And then I saw in another video that the touchpad is also a button. Yeah. For some reason, that was like a revolution
in my brain. It's more Apple-like. Like, oh my God. It's more Apple-like. It can also light up.
Yeah, I actually, my first reaction to the touchpad was, wow, like they Vita'd it again. But then I read about what they were doing for Killzone, and I was like, hey, that sounds pretty cool. I can dig that.
What are they doing with Killzone?
They can display like LED style shit on it, right?
I thought so. Yeah.
Yes. So as I understand it, they can put like a couple little buttons on there for like special actions. So like you can use part of the touchpad to do like your airstrike or whatever. So as something that expands the number of inputs and isn't too gross about it, like I don't like the idea of like using it as like a mouse because that's ridiculous.
It's obvious.
But, yeah, but using it in the way like okay, one thing I actually loved about Golden Abyss. Did any of you try it at all?
Well, as an owner of a Vita,
only for 5 seconds.
Griff, you have a Vita?
Fuck yeah. No. Oh, I still don't have a Vita, yet have I ever had one.
Fine. So something I liked about Golden Abyss and some other Vita titles, if you put buttons, if you use the touchscreen to add additional context-sensitive buttons that are just on the edge of the touchscreen that your thumbs can reach, it's actually kind of awesome. Huh. So if they were to do something like that with the touchpad, where it's like, hey, there's just a little extra button that shows up sometimes and maybe it turns into something else, like I'm down with that.
That sounds great.
It sounds really cool, too, except you run – I mean, so you have two competing issues there. So when you put buttons on top of screens, this is the iPhone dilemma of like when you're touching the screen too much, then your thumb interferes with what's happening on the screen. So you have to be mindful of that. On the other hand, now you're running into the Wii U problem of like if you're putting a button that changes dynamically on your controller, you're going to be spending time looking down at your controller, not the screen. Mm. And who does that? So, I agree with you, Jeff. I love that you can display images on it, but I think that like it has to be done very carefully and very very mindfully.
Yes. I'm sure there's going to be like a launch game that just does a horrible poopy job of it, but there's going to be some that show promise, and right. I think it's something that's small enough. It's not like the rear touchpad, which is like fucking stupid 99% of the time. Mm. it's like small enough that they can probably do something kind of neat with it eventually.
I just need to see how well my hands get to it. Like when I put my hands on a controller, am I able to reach into that center and fully use that pad? Or do I feel like I kind of got to take a hand off and then touch
it? Yeah.
Because that'll be a game changing issue, or that'll be kind of like a design issue there.
It'll be a hashtag game changer.
Game changer.
I hope it just doesn't become something like they use it to display your inventory, you know? Like,
what if it was a cute pixel inventory?
See, I actually love the idea. Well, this is switching gears a little bit, but this is about the Wii U. I love the idea of having your subscreen on the Wii U. And the only reason I truly love it is because, well, first of all, getting rid of HUD elements is always nice. But
yes,
I like the idea of not being able to pause to manipulate your inventory.
Okay.
I think that's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
From a gameplay perspective.
But, I think it depends on the game.
Yeah, that's true, Griffin.
In a little demo I played of Zombie U, they were doing really interesting stuff with the like you use your flashlight, and then you have to look at the look through your phablet to your TV.
and
it sounds so contrived, but it's like somehow immersive.
I love that shit. Yeah, I think it's awesome.
So yeah, you're absolutely right. There are some smart things that can be used on it, and even if it is used as a really basic, just like, hey, it's got more buttons, like we put two more buttons on it,
yeah,
like even that is fine. Like, it doesn't interfere, it just changes the, you know, controller landscape in an interesting way.
Yeah, and worst case, if it gets ignored, like you just have a PS3 controller that is more ergonomic.
Sure. I mean, worst case, it becomes the 6-axis. So
yeah,
it's like somebody puts it in a game that you kind of use it every once in a while.
You know how it's going to be used? I know exactly how it's going to be used. There's going to be Harry Potter, whatever, spellcaster, drag your finger across the thing to Wingardium, whatever.
That's how I thought you were going to say, turn the page of your magic book.
Oh my god.
Which, now that I think about that, I would have loved that feature in Ni No Kuni.
I would have loved the DS version with the book. That was another thing they had over at
you
Video
can still
Games
get the book.
Can you really?
Well, you can't anymore, but you could. Like, if you pre-ordered the Super Deluxe Edition from the Namco Bandai website,
I thought about that.
You could get the Wizard Compendium, and it's so good.
It doesn't matter, though, because, like, you don't need it for the spells.
No, you don't. Like, no, no.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you also... Oh, I can... Ni No Kuni is a fantastic game, and that the book that is in the... That book is in the menu, and the way you navigate it is so cool.
Yeah.
I have to play that game. I feel like that's what I should play in the last bit of my summer that I have.
I think you should, Jamie.
You should play it.
I only beat, like, I got to the Desert Griffin.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You don't...
And then I stopped.
What are you doing? Wasting your time replaying Final Fantasy IX when you can be spending 80 hours in Ni No Kuni.
The reason I stopped is because school took over.
Oh.
And then I haven't really... Then I played Last of Us, so I'll probably get back to it this summer.
You should. It's... I had to turn it down to easy about halfway through when I got to the genie, just because the difficulty level, it gets stupidly weird, and you... It doesn't offer you the control that you need to deal with the battles. Mm. So I was just like, fuck it. I'll turn it down to easy. And then, you know, after the fight that was too hard, I'd put it back up to regular. And then after a while, I was like, I'll just fucking leave it on easy because who gives a shit?
Can I ask you guys a weird question? So Ni No Kuni is like the reason why I have PS3, right? It's a crazy, beautiful Japanese RPG.
Mm.
And I think I've subconsciously avoided it. Because I don't want to be disappointed. Have you guys ever done that? Avoided a game because you don't want to be disappointed in it.
No.
I think maybe. Maybe like I might delay and purchase. I think that's why I waited so long to buy Mass Effect. Because I looked at it and I was like, hey, this doesn't quite look like what I want it to be. And I waited a long time to buy it. I bought it for $5.
Well, I played that demo of Ni No Kuni and I hated it. But Jeff, you said that demo was not reflective of
The demo was terrible. I hated the demo, and the game itself was really fun.
The only thing that kind of holds true for me, Jamie, is like I won't write a review for a game that I like really adore or feel like everything has been said that needs to be said.
Gotcha.
You know, it's like I'm not going to write a review for The Last of Us because I feel like I have nothing intelligent to say on the subject that hasn't already been said. Mm. Or like I'm not going to write a review about Ni No Kuni because I don't have anything to say and it was so fantastic. Like all I can do is say like you should play it because it's so good.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I can go through mechanics and run down a boring dry list for you, but I don't think it's not worth the time. And I'm not doing the game justice by writing about it like that.
And I promise you, Jamie, that demo is not indicative of the demo has some of the elements that are in the final game, but it is not indicative of the experience you will have when you play it.
Gotcha.
It's very they introduce you to the mechanics very gradually. It feels organic. It feels good. Switching between the dudes, like it was like a total clusterfuck in the thing, but it's actually awesome in the game.
All right, I'm going to do it.
Do it.
I'm just going to buy it. Jump in.
It was on sale for like $20 earlier.
I missed it. I feel like this goes towards my thing where I can't finish Japanese RPGs either that I really like because I don't want the world to stop.
I hear you. Yep.
Yeah. So like the third time I played FF7, which was like two or three summers ago, I actually got to like the last move where I knew I would finish the game. And then I just stood up and turned the PS3 off.
Oh my God, it has a good ending too. I think you'd like the ending, Jamie. It's very, I don't want to spoil it for you. You're crazy.
I know. Same with Xenogears, very last boss, turn the game off.
That's good.
Shut up. Xenogears, I told you, Xenogears is my favorite game.
You are a crazy person, Jeff. Xenogears is not your favorite game.
I love Xenogears.
It can't be. I
played those 80 hours, and it literally will take you 80 hours, even if you rush. And I loved it. I loved all 80 of them.
You can't. That cannot be your favorite game ever.
It's up there for you, man.
It's pretty high.
That's impossible.
It's got a little magical thing going on. I can't describe it. Maybe it's because there's a guy who's green and he's got red hair. I don't know.
It's Blanca from Street Fighter.
Yeah. They got really lazy on that one.
There's a guy named... They just aped from every popular media that they knew. Like, there's a guy named Redrum.
Yeah, exactly.
There's Soylent Green.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
There's just about as boilerplate anime kung fu master as you can get.
Right, and I think, yeah, Billy was your pretty standard, Western... gun dude, preacher or...
Don't you remember Billy's backstory, though? He was molested.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Freaking play the game.
Okay. I mean, I did play it, but I don't remember that.
I'm just getting on your case. I love that game.
There's the nanomachine girl. She's pretty cool.
The nanomachine girl grows up, and then she's a sexy lady. And
then there's that little girl who rides that little Furby.
There is a Pen-Pen. Pen-Pen is in that game, except he's
nice.
I loved Xenogears. I'm only giving you shit because it's not a great game.
It's the best game.
No.
It's not a great game. It's the greatest game.
I guess if you're saying that everything else is, if everything is zero, then it is zero as well, and therefore the best. Like, if nothing is nothing, then everything is everything, and therefore it's the best, I guess, by that logic. But
it's the best game because it probably contains the entire text of the Bible.
Yeah.
So it's very educational.
I think if anything, Xenogears was a very ambitious game.
Oh God, yeah.
But music, I agree, fantastic. We should play Ni No Kuni because that's a really good game.
I'm gonna play it. I remember reading magazine article, a review of Xenogears when it came out, and the review was really focused. It was like a multi-page review. It's so focused on in the battle system, there were no bars. Like, you have your little prompt that comes up with the different moves you can make.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, RPGs will never be the same.
Yeah.
There were plenty of things without bars before then.
No, I don't know.
Maybe the guy had only played Square RPGs.
I think that was kind of just everybody's mentality at that time, though, right? Like, anybody who thought Xenogears was drastically different was like, I've only played Final Fantasy VII.
Probably,
which
yeah.
was the only RPG I had played at the time.
I had grown up playing, and Griffin, too, because I remember I went over to your house, Griffin, and we listened to the ending montage of Final Fantasy VI or III, as we knew it at that time, together.
Mm. Oh. I remember borrowing a lot of shit from Tom Clayton's library.
Yeah.
So we were Super Nintendo owners. Yeah. You didn't have a Super Nintendo, right, Jamie?
I had a Super Nintendo. Literally did not know what a JRPG was. Like, I was just playing platformers. There was one platformer Super Snot Man, where he was a snotty superhero.
Boogerman? So,
Boogerman. Yeah. Played Boogerman.
Sounds
good,
awesome.
Good choice.
Yeah, I have no idea how I got somehow or another I had Final Fantasy II. I think a friend of mine was playing it, and I was like, this game looks awesome, can you get it for me, mom and dad?
Well, you always just had the JRPG shrine. I remember going to your house and you're like, it was like you'd have Secret of Everything, and you and your dog would be running around, and you had just yeah, I finished this one too, and this one, and this one, and this one. I'm like, damn,
dude,
son.
You showed me Secret of Evermore. I never owned that one.
Oh, really?
I remember you showed me the strategy guide with Bad Boy and Dark Toaster.
Fuck, man.
Oh, my God.
How do people remember things?
I remember, Jeff, you made an RPG with the PlayStation 1 RPG Maker.
I most certainly did. I still have that game in its original jewel case.
Wow.
We need to play it. We need to do a Let's Play of that.
Did you guys ever, I remember I got these because back in Summit, like I remember watching this shit on the VHS, but did you get those like Nintendo
oh my God,
tapes?
Yes.
It was like, yo, check out how rad Donkey Kong 64 is.
Yeah, we did.
It was a Donkey Kong Country video. It was so funny. Did you guys get the one where the 64 was coming out and like the competition was trying to find out what it was and they tied up Mario and were like interrogating him?
I only got those things like when the 64 was out. So I was getting like literally Donkey Kong 64 shit and like Mario Kart.
Interesting. I don't think I got those, but I definitely got the Donkey Kong Country one and the Nintendo 64 interrogation. I just remember when they find Nintendo headquarters, one of them goes, "The eagle has landed." Oh, and then they make a Star Fox joke.
Oh, nice. Nice.
They were amazing.
I remember there was a sweepstakes on Nickelodeon and Alex Mack was like, "You could win an N64." And then there was Mario and he jumped into a pool, like a metal pool.
And a bunch of slime just fell all over everything.
Nostalgia.
I still have to buy. I'm going to buy Star Fox 3D.
It's great.
It's amazing. And it's one of those things where you don't think that 3D will make that big of a difference. And then you turn the 3D on and you're playing Star Fox and it just like clicks. And it's so awesome. Yeah. I don't understand.
And also, and speaking of graphics, the graphical overhaul like makes it feel fresh, which really? Is kind of antithetical to what I was just saying, but it really does.
Do they add more levels or something?
No.
No.
It's the same. Did you
play... You can play touchscreen.
Yes.
And yeah.
Did you play Ocarina for 3DS, Jamie?
I played through most of it.
For some reason.
Yeah, new life.
I don't know why.
It did not feel dated. And that was actually the first time that I really played that game. I was just having fun. I didn't even think like, oh, this is a game from the 90s. Just having fun.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Yeah.
Majora's better, though. I hope they remake Majora.
Yes.
Buy the butt out of that. Yes. I wish it's so sad, but I kind of wish they had remade Majora instead of A Link Between Worlds, just because A Link Between Worlds looks so boring.
Silly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it. People can't stop talking about it.
I'm going to get it, but I don't know if I'm going
to
like it.
I mean, you'll get your Ocarina eventually. If you go to the Nintendo World Store in New York and you go to the little section of the museum in there that's devoted to the N64, the game on the screen is Ocarina.
You mean Majora's Mask?
Majora's Mask.
I hope they make it. Miyamoto basically said, he's like, we'll make it. We just don't know whether we're going to make A Link to the Past or that.
Yeah, but Miyamoto had like nothing to do with Majora's Mask, so that's not really his bag.
Yeah, but I think he pretty much can just be like, do this.
Miyamoto's into his weird hobbies right now. Like, what do you guys hear about the new 3DS updates for Street Pass?
I did.
Did you? That's not available for US people, correct? Am I doing something wrong? Yeah.
No,
so it's
not.
Like there's just like straight up gardening thing where you're like, you plant flowers from things people give you or something. And that's just screaming like Miyamoto.
The weird thing is there's these updates for Street Pass, Jamie, and they cost money. I don't know why anyone would pay money for them.
Like I've heard about this.
I still play the Street Pass games. Although I looked at them and they actually look like real games. Like one of them is just like a straight-up shooter.
The shooter sounds great.
Yeah.
Is this the thing that I read news about, that they're happy with the amount that they're selling of them?
Yes. They sold like 200,000 copies or something crazy like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Each one is made by a different developer too, right? Like it's a different big-name Nintendo dude who designed each one of the four games.
Oh, is that right? That's actually pretty awesome.
I think so. Like each one has a different touch by a different developer.
How much is each game?
I think it's a package deal.
Okay, so what's the package?
Like $10 or something.
Huh, all right.
You could get that for practically free if you just go out and buy, you know, that Shin Megami Tensei game.
Exactly, yeah. Also, I go to New York and spend more than that on like a really crappy drink with a really stupid name. So that's really $10, you know.
I was going to say, isn't Shin Megami Tensei like $50 though? Oddly enough.
Atlas needs money.
Yeah, they do. Index is going bankrupt. But I went to the eShop, and I'm pretty sure it's $50 for the digital version.
It
doesn't count for the digital version.
Excuse me.
Are you shitting me?
I was under the impression that you have to have both physical copies for this deal to go through.
I mean, Dale North could be wrong, but Dale North did explicitly say either one would work. But Dale North could be wrong.
Okay. Just reading Gaff, I heard people screaming saying, oh my God, I bought the digital ones. This sucks.
I don't think so. But Dale North also said that both copies were the same price, but if you get the physical copy, you get like extra crap, like a book or something.
Yeah, probably a soundtrack, yeah.
They always do that, yeah. They're like, hey, you can get art book with Lolita ladies or whatever.
Yeah.
I bought Etrian, and there's like little lolly ladies in my art book.
Little lolly ladies?
Yep. What'd you say, Griffin?
I said boob touching minigame.
Yeah.
But it's a book. It's a choose your own boob touching adventure.
are we gonna all buy Shinobi Versus?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, what are we buying?
Just confirmed for those on their edge of their seats, Dale North, both retail and digital purchases of either game are eligible.
Okay.
So that's nice of them, I guess.
Just so you know, Griff, Shinobi Versus is the game where you fight girls and their clothing rips off.
Okay. How about that Project X Zone or Project Cross Zone? Have you either of you guys think about picking that up?
Nope.
Okay.
What is that again? What is that?
It's like a crossover game with some Capcom and Namco Bandai properties.
And it has like tactical RPG elements to it.
Isn't Cosmos in it?
Yeah, everybody's
still
in
things.
Yeah.
The freaking cyborg from Xeno Saga.
Well, the thing that sold it for me the most interesting character is Bruce Willis, Die Hard, you know, John McClane. But since they lost that property, now it's like the first player from Dynamite Cop. But it's still just straight up John McClane, and he throws a fucking clock as his like last move.
I'm excited about this.
It has a 70 on Metascore.
It just looks dumb to me. I don't understand what the appeal is at all.
John McClane.
Like, I don't care if my favorite characters all come together if the content is poor.
But that is like a draw.
People have been playing Smash Bros. For years.
Yeah, exactly.
But I like Smash Brothers. I think the mechanics are good.
I mean, sure. Yeah, I bet they're about as good as X Zone.
I don't know. It does nothing for me.
People go crazy over the mechanics in Smash Bros. People analyze that stuff.
Well, Nintendo people go crazy over Nintendo stuff regardless.
That's true.
I think I'm in that camp, unfortunately.
Speaking of Nintendo crazy, foaming at the mouth stuff, Club Nintendo. Do you guys use that?
Yes.
Okay.
I did all of my Club Nintendo surveys for the month of July, and I'm up to 1,980 points.
Okay, that number sounds familiar. I think we did talk about this.
Yes.
So does I guess this ties into the awesome $30 deal, but I mean, Jeff, you said that Square Enix does something like this too.
Yeah, it's garbage. I gotta fill you in quickly because I actually do have to split in a couple minutes here. But basically, what Square Enix did, and I did this one year, you can join their group, and they have three tiers. They have the bronze rank, which is like for everyone, and the bronze rank you get postcards. Actually, one of which I mailed to Jamie.
Oh yeah, I got that. That was beautiful.
So the bronze rank you get for registering, like, let's say, like two or three games. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's like postcards. Then there's like the silver rank, which is like, I don't know, like a CD or something. But you literally have to register, I would say, like 20 Square Enix games. And then there's like the gold rank, which you literally have to register every single Square Enix title that has been released for every platform. So that means like if 13 is released for two platforms, you have to buy it on both to get the gold rating. But the gold rating is like a piece of unique art or something.
Hmm. Wow.
So it's really stupid. But Club Nintendo rocks. It's
a zipper from Nomura. Some teeth mailed to you in an envelope.
Oh my God.
Probably. But yeah, Club Nintendo rocks. But anyway, guys, I actually have to split because I got to wake up and fly across the country tomorrow.
Yikes.
So I hate to cut things short.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good night. Have a safe trip. We'll see you when you get back.
Okay, I think I'm hosting the call, so when I hang up, it's going to
drop. That's fine. You can go. I'm just going to hang up, or I'm going to close it up here and just say, if people don't know who are listening and have made it this far, Jamie, you have heard probably, but Ryan Davis of Giant Bomb fame passed away last week, and it was made public on Monday of this week, and I've never been so sad about something like this. I just want to make this an apparent thing and say, hey, he will be missed.
Yeah, definitely. I actually thought that the way that they handled it was really amazing. They devoted the whole front page of their website to just old videos that he'd done. Mm-hmm. And I actually spent a large portion of yesterday just watching old videos that
Me
he'd
too.
Done.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really tasteful way to say goodbye. I'm really, really bummed. I don't know how they're gonna fill that void.
In so many ways, we don't know how that void will be filled. You're absolutely right. So I think we'll end that right here, and I'm gonna do the Harmonix live stream tribute and play this at the end of this. Play the Daft Punk's "Lucky Summer Jam." As a final tribute as we can to him.
Sounds good.
All right, guys. See you later.
See you later, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Like the legend of the Phoenix, ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning? The force from the beginning. All night to get lucky. We're up all night to the sun. We're up all night.